Jema, so my prayer for joining has been granted because there was some difficulty in joining, and I think the prayer for joining has been granted, so that's wonderful. There is a deeper question because I was just watching some of the responses. Some prayers are granted, some are not granted, some are granted if it is aligned with karma, if it is aligned with the divine will. Now the question arises, if ultimately the divine will fulfills itself through whatever means, is there a meaning in our prayer? Is there a meaning in aspiration? Because ultimately the divine will not deviate from the truth for which the will is operating. So why do we pray? Why do we aspire? And what is even karma as a machinery about if ultimately there is a divine will which will fulfill itself? So, not going into the details of karmic theory, because as given by Sri Aurobindo, not as it is traditionally understood, but very simply, what prayer does, something very, very beautiful. Prayer brings us in contact with the divine. And that's what we should not forget. It's not a question of whether a prayer is granted or not granted. It's like if you go every day and meet a friend, requesting him for this, requesting him for that, asking for this, asking for that. Then one day what happens? A deep bond of friendship begins to develop because you are meeting every day. And once we have friendship with the divine, once we have a contact with the divine, then all the rest is simply a writing clear on the wall. All the rest will follow. That means we will more and more go behind the divine, walk with the divine, regardless of the prayer being granted or not. In fact, we will stop praying for this or that object and we'll start praying for the one object or the one subject which should be the object of our prayer, and that is the divine. So there is a very simple little story about it, that there is a king who had a darbar and people who could go and give their prayers, and the king would accordingly decide, he'll accordingly decide and send things to this or that minister. So one person goes there and he asks the king, I want your friendship. Now it's a prayer and the king is supposed to grant, and everybody is perplexed as to what is this person has come and asked, because which minister can he ask now to fulfill his prayer? Ministers are like gods, so he has to grant that prayer or not. But since the king has said that I will grant the prayers when people come and ask me at a particular time, the king has to say yes. Now people call him a fool, that you could have asked this, you could have asked that, you could have asked 100 things. But herein we discover that he turns out to be the wisest man, because with the king as friend, all else is bound to follow. And all else is bound to come in due course of time. So this is one of the things that we find in the mother's prayers and meditation. There is not one prayer, let me make it very categorically clear, that she is asking for, grant me this object, grant me this particular house, grant me this, grant me that. She is only constantly praying to be more and more contact with the divine, more and more in, go deeper into the divine, more and more manifest the divine, more and more live for the divine, more and more seek the divine in many, many countless ways. So this is exactly what we must pray for. So these prayers are not meant for wish fulfillment. And there is a reason for that, because wish fulfillment prayers, very often, ultimately the divine will grant, but they put us in contact with the forces of the vital world. And that's not very good, because for every wish or desire that is granted to us, we equally are made enslaved to that particular wish or desire. Whereas these prayers have a different purpose, and the purpose of these prayers, as the mother says, is for three categories of people. So what are these three categories of people? One, those who want to discover the path of self-mastery. This is not a path where we have to become weaker and enslaved, but a path to self-mastery. Second is those who want to work for the divine and serve the divine. And third, of course, she puts it in a different way, but basically those who want to realize union with the divine. So these are the three objectives of these prayers and meditations. So they take us to a quite another level of prayers, because normally when we talk about prayers, we think immediately of wish fulfillment, but prayers are of many kinds. There are higher prayers and lower prayers. This belongs to the lower prayers, what the Gita calls as the Arth and the Artharthi. Nothing wrong with that, but they don't serve the higher yogic purpose. So higher yogic purpose is served by prayers of a jigyasu. There is a prayer which seeks for light, which seeks for wideness, which seeks for peace, which seeks for truth, first in oneself and then in the whole world. So we'll see when we read these prayers of the mother. She is, for instance, one of the prayers where she is on a board a ship, and she calls for the divine intervention. And the way she goes, and she even quietens the beings which are troubling, and she experiences the intervention for everyone. And so the whole ship is as if, you know, the storm changes and everything turns peaceful. So there are intercessionary prayers, not just for oneself, but for the whole earth. This is something very beautiful. And when we read through these prayers, one of the magic effects is that we grow wide and wide. And wide as the earth, wider than the earth, because we begin to understand that what it means to really pray. To pray for oneself is really to keep oneself shut in the little hole of the ego and desire, and ask a little light to enter into that hole. Yes, the light will enter, but it will enter very, very thinly. But there is another prayer which seeks to come out of the hole, come out of the ignorance. There is a prayer for liberation from all constructions, from all ignorance. There is a prayer which seeks the knowledge, true knowledge, seeks for truth. And that's how we see the grand start of this prayers and meditation, which are basically daily record of the mother when she would sit. She describes at one of the places how in Tokyo she would sit, in France she would in the morning hours sit with a cup of drink, coffee, which will be lying by the window sill, and then she would sit, and while that is growing cold, she is contemplating and she is writing her prayer. These are not prayer, they are letters, communications to the divine. And she receives communications from the divine. She receives communication from Buddha. She receives communication from the master. She receives communication from the supreme. And all these she documents. So to make us privy to some of these communications, because these are communications which we don't know what happened in the life of a mystic, what the person, a yogi, heard in his silent contemplation. This is something so amazing, because it's like we are present when a conversation is going on between the divine mother, as you know, identifying with the earth consciousness, and the divine mother in her very highest self, because she has taken an avatar for this purpose. She has assumed a human body, assumed the cloak of ignorance to teach us how to pray, how to live, how to work, how to serve, and how to ultimately realize our highest destiny, which is to unite with the divine. So this is what we see in these prayers, and they are meant basically for these categories of people. These prayers are not meant, I mean, not that the divine doesn't grant wishes, he can grant wishes anytime. We don't need to go through these prayers for that. These prayers bring us in contact with the divine mother. So that's their main purpose. And through contact with the divine mother, all else begins to develop, because yoga is union with the divine. The purpose of yoga is not just continuing to lead the ordinary life with a little bit of polishing. It's not the old life in a new bottle, new wrapping. It's a new life altogether. And that's what these prayers put us in touch with. And let me just, read one of these prayers just to... I think you have so many. Now, some of these prayers have been translated by Sri Aurobindo. And some of these prayers which have been... and many of the prayers have not been really published because the mother didn't want them. Many of them were very, very personal, very private. They teach us, for instance, that, you know, when we are sick, what should be our attitude? She says that how we should hand over our responsibility entirely to the divine, whether he chooses for us health or illness, life or death. So that's a wonderful prayer. It teaches us when circumstances are difficult. Does seeking for the divine depend upon the circumstances or on the inner attitudes? So we see that when we are living in a place and in a house, and we are, how should we treat these objects? How should we, when we are leaving the house, what should be our attitude? How should we be towards friends? And when, let's say we go through a heartbreak, when we go through a difficult time in distress and we are looking for a shoulder to cry, should we simply take the divine as our bestest friend and cry on his shoulders, if at all? And he is the one who listens, who understands. So all through these prayers, through different life situations, as she goes, and most importantly of all, she shows us how exactly, what are those eyes with which we should see the divine. And I think that is the prayer I would read, just two prayers, and then I'll pass on to... When she is going, for instance, on the ship, she says it's become a living temple. So we can imagine. So just with two prayers, I'm going to pass on the mic to Preeti. One is, February 5th, 1913, one of my favorite prayers, Thy Voice. Now she is hearing a communication from the Supreme, her own highest self. Thy voice is heard as a melodious chant in the stillness of my heart and is translated in my head by words which are inadequate and yet replete with thee. And these words are addressed to the earth and say to her. This is a prayer which I think one should just put it whenever one is distressed, whenever one is in difficulty, just to remember these words. Poor, sorrowful earth, remember that I am present in thee and lose not hope. Each effort, each grief, each joy and each pang, each call of thy heart, each aspiration of thy soul, each renewal of thy seasons, all without exception, what seems to thee sorrowful and what seems to thee joyous, what seems to thee sorrowful and what seems to thee joyous, what seems to thee ugly and what seems to thee beautiful, all infallibly lead thee towards me, who am endless peace, shadowless light, perfect harmony, certitude, rest, and supreme blessedness. Hearken, O earth, to the sublime voice that arises. Hearken and take new courage. So this is the purpose of the prayer, actually to bring us in contact with the divine. See, we wonder, some prayers are granted, some are not granted, some are granted here, some are granted on this condition, that condition, but that's not the point. Very often when a prayer is not granted, it is a grace, because any which way we are moving toward the divine, and very often experiences where some wish is not fulfilled bring us closer to the divine. See, that's the paradox. And so beautifully, there is a line in Savitri, heaven's wiser love rejects the mortal's prayer. So the purpose of prayer is to learn about self-mastery. The purpose of prayer is to realize union with the divine. Prayer is one of the medium means for that, very powerful means given to man. And the purpose of prayer is to learn how to serve the divine. And the second prayer is where she is, has darshan of Sri Aurobindo. She meets Sri Aurobindo, and we all go for darshan. We go every day. But look how she sees. She is giving us her eyes for a moment to look at him and look at her. This is a prayer of March 30th, 1914. It matters little that there are thousands of beings plunged in the densest ignorance. He whom we saw yesterday is on earth. His presence is enough to prove that a day will come when darkness shall be transformed into light, and thy reign shall be indeed established upon earth. And what happens next also, just a few more lines, she experiences when we come in contact with the divine, how should we really, what should be our experience? We should not go back in our old self. And that one contact is enough if we are receptive. And she says, it is as though, on April 3rd, she notes after meeting Sri Aurobindo, it is as though I were stripped of my entire past, of its errors, as well as its conquests, as though all that has vanished. We all want to get rid of errors, but we don't want to get rid of things which have made us proud and happy. But to give to the divine everything means give everything. The good, bad, everything. As though all that has vanished and made room for a newborn child whose whole existence is yet to be lived, who has no karma. See, granting prayers according to karma? No, the prayer should completely annul the law of karma. One should live like a newborn child every moment. No experience to learn from, but no error either, which has to be set right. And finally, in the same prayer, we have prayers of adoration and we have prayers of gratitude. They are the highest form of prayer. So these prayers of adoration, gratitude, they become yogic prayers. And there are others for wish fulfillment. They are not prayers of yoga. They are prayers for bhoga, which is okay, but that doesn't lead us to the highest consummation. An immense gratitude rises from my heart. It seems to me that I have at last reached the threshold I sought so much. With these words, I pass on the mic. Jai Ma.